If you got your Bibles, I switched around a little bit, Brother Chad. If you got your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter number 6, if you would. Galatians chapter number 6. And also, I'd like for you to turn to Malachi chapter number 1. Malachi chapter number 1 and Galatians chapter number 6. I have just a short thought tonight that I want to give you. Something I'm noticing in Christendom as a whole. Galatians chapter 6, if you're there, say amen. Let me get there. Galatians chapter number 6. I want you to go down. We'll read this passage, then go over to Malachi. And I'll spend most of my time in Malachi. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. If you're there, say amen. Be not deceived. Amen. If he's telling us not to be deceived, it is possible to be deceived. And there's a whole bunch of people in our land today, in our churches today, are deceived. Be not deceived. Now notice this strong, strong word. God is not mocked. Let me read that again. That's stirring. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's the law of the harvest. For he that soweth to the flesh, or if we're living a fleshly life and all we do is to feed the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, here's my thought tonight, and I'll go over to Malachi to give you application. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I did a little word study on that. I'm not preaching there, but I want to share this. A little word study on that word, faint not. What that really means is don't lose heart. There's a lot of folks tonight has lost heart. They've gotten weary. They once lived for God. They once were walking for God. They once were living for Him. They once were being faithful to Him. They once was doing what was right. But they got weary in well-doing. Now notice, if you go back to Malachi chapter number 1. And I'll read verse number 13. And all you know, the background of Malachi. This is the last book of the Old Testament. And what God was going to literally do was to turn His back on Israel. He was going to close the book for 400 years. And they were not going to hear anything from God. How sad, how many agree with me, how sad would it be if you didn't hear anything from God? I'm glad. I want y'all to know something. I'm glad I heard from Him today. I'm glad I hear from Him every day. But what a terrible thing to think that God would shut the door on me and say, I'm not going to visit with you. There'll be no prophetic utterances. There will be a 400-year silence because of your sin. Dear Lord. Now, you heard our New Testament text. I want to show you our Old Testament text. Give you a little introduction. and then just give you four truths, found three of them in this passage, one in another passage. And I'll be concluded. Look what they said in verse number 13. If you're there, say amen. Now they were having a dialogue back and forth with God. And they said this, ye said also, that's the people, behold what a weariness it is. Notice these words, ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you had brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord. I, as a pastor, notice things. I notice when people start getting weary. You know, you really read it on a lot of folks' face. By the way, I want you to know when the joy is pulling off from you and this thing is, you're serving God grudgingly and it's tough to come to church and it's tough to serve God and it's tough and you just get so weary and well doing that, hey, we see marriages that are getting weary and well doing. We see members in church getting weary and well doing. We see ministers, men of God that should be preaching the Word of God get weary and well doing, and there's got to be a reason. And the Bible said, be ye not weary in well-doing. By the way, how many believe we're in a fight? How many believe we're in a battle? How many believe the devil's our enemy? Hey, you're not my enemy. We're not one another's enemy, but the devil hates every one of us. And if he can, he'll just do this to you. Just give you a spirit of weariness. A spirit of weariness. The children of Israel, why would they even question God? Because it was God that showed his supernatural presence to them in a cloud and in the fire. It was God that showed his supernatural power to them. And when he took up and lifted up the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. And how many still believe that? It was God that showed his supernatural provision for them. For he took care of them 40 years. Hey, their clothes even didn't get old. Somebody help me preach. If I'm going to get weary, and if we are weary, why? Give me four things and I'll be done. Just follow me in the Bible. Follow me right here in Malachi. Number one. I want you to notice in verse number two. Or verse number one and two. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Notice what the Lord said. I've loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. When you get weary, look at me. When you get weary, here's the source of the problem. It is every time you have a love problem. Hey, we see it in marriages. We see marriages that start off wonderful. Amen. Come on. Start off wonderful and glorious. And they're just one. Man, we say that's the greatest marriage ever. Then we see something happen. Then we'll hear a statement like this. I hate this statement. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Did I say it? I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I don't know how in the world that makes any sense at all. Come on, help me preach. What was their problem? They said, Lord, They said, I love you. He said, no, you don't. See, the source of their problem. And by the way, if there's anybody ought to love God, the children of Israel ought to love God. Somebody say amen. Hey, he gave them the scripture. This is a Jewish book. This Bible is inspired by mostly Jewish authors. He gave them the word of God, the infallible, the inerrant, the word of God. He gave them the Bible. I wonder how many of you tonight would question God's love, and you have to be honest, God's been good to you. Don't you dare say God's not been good to you. Hey, how about the bread on your table? How about the job you got? How about him get you through education? How about him blessing you all these years? Somebody help me preach. Not only did he give him the scripture, he gave him the Savior. He was a Jewish Savior. He said, I came unto my own, and my own received me not. But many who received gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then he gave them spiritual blessings. Hey, somebody help me. That was a blessed people. Well, you say, well, that's Israel. How about us? How many of y'all believe he loves us? Well, let me prove it. The cross ought to prove to you he loved you. He went there and bore your sin and took your sin and took all your sin. He became sin. He became sin. He became a drunkard so a drunkard could be saved. He became a dope addict so a dope addict don't need dope anymore. He became everything, every sin. He became sin. So don't question his love toward us. Am I preaching? I tell you, the cross tells me he loves me. But I tell you, him just calling me to be saved tells me he loves me. How many remember the day he knocked on your door? How many remember the day he came by your way? How many remember the day he came and saved your soul? And this next one, he also claims me. Now, hold a minute. Hey, some of it's not worth claiming. You remember when the disciples, after the resurrection, boy, I'm about ready to get happy here. After the resurrection, they went over and started fishing. The Bible said Peter was fishing naked. And the Bible said they caught nothing. And here comes Jesus. Now, hold a minute. He wasn't a typical Baptist preacher. Because if that had been me, you know what I said? You low down, no account dog. I can't help it. That's what I said. I like to say that to some people. Why don't I? Don't. I'm glad you just said. You know what he said? Boy, I'm about ready to get happy here. You know what he said?
Come on.
You know what he said?
Come on.
He said, he didn't say low down, dog. He said, children, you have any meat? I've been a mess in my Christian life a few times. And I am glad I can raise my hand to tell you I know he loves me. Hallelujah. He still claims me. I'm still a child of God, heir of God, joint heir with Jesus. Somebody help me preach. But here's what happens is when we get weary, we have a love problem. Not that he's not loving us. It's just we're not loving him.
Yep. Come on now.
They would never be a marital problem if both spouses were in love with God. They would never be a ministry problem if a minister was in love with God. They would never be a membership problem if the members were in love with God. But you know why we get weary? Our love for Christ gets weary. I'll hurry. I kind of want to watch Chad slide down that slide. Now, hold a minute. How many of y'all agree with me? It's real easy because of the devil and satanic influences and the influences that tempt us to lose sight of our love for Christ. The sword throws a problem, verse 2. But if you have a problem and you're weary or tired and you can't move or you can't go on, secondly, there should be some symptoms. I remember, some of y'all may not remember this, but up from the age 27 to the age 50, I had this happen to me periodically for 23 years until they finally found out what it was. I'd pass out. I'd get weary. You remember when I passed out on you up there on Sycamore up on a hill about like that? And had a 30-odd rifle laying beside my head where I passed out. I got weary. Well, you know, you said, what'd you do? I went to the doctor. That doctor, he said, oh, I got it. I know what's wrong with you. For 23 years, he told me that. I thank God I changed doctors. 23 years, he said, you're hypoglycemic. Never checked me for it. Never pricked me in my hands. But you were hypoglycemic. I was not hypoglycemic. Well, Dr. Kinder got me to have a catheterization. He wanted to check worst case scenario. And you know how many's ever had one of them? They give you Valium. Or at least that's what they give me. Well, I was getting ready to get out of the hospital. Margaret, you remember this. I was getting ready to get out of the hospital. I was feeling kind of funny. And I had 1 minute to go. She was going to unplug all this stuff. I get to leave. And I looked up and her sweat started coming off my head. I said, I'm having what I'm in here for right now. And I passed out right in front of that woman. You know what happened? I had symptoms. My blood pressure dropped from 138 over something like 78 down to about 65 over 42. And I went out like a light because I had symptoms. Then they put me in the hospital. How many's ever been on a tilt table? I said, thank God. I had to lose 5 pounds to get on it. I was overweight. But a tilt table is to find out if you got, somebody help me, I done forgot what I had. Vagal nerve, a vagal problem. That vagal runs from here all the way down to here. And what I have is not hypoglycemic. What I have was a vagal attack that I had for 23 years. Hadn't had one since. I hope I don't have one tonight. Somebody say amen. But I want you to know, if you get weary, and I got weary, I want you to know there's always a symptom. Let me give you the symptoms. Look in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and serveth his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And I be a master, where is my fear? Number one, there'll be a lack of honor. I want you to know something. You said, what do you mean a lack of honor? We're supposed to honor God. How many believe we're supposed to put God first? I'll tell you, here's when you know you're fainting. Here's when you know you're getting weary. Here's when you know you're getting tired. Here's when you know you're about ready to stop. Is when you, hey, somebody help me. You quit honoring God. You quit putting him first. Yet there's something else comes in. Then there's something else that comes in. You ought to thank God if you're here today and your children's putting God first and your family's putting God first. Somebody help me preach. We have a lack of honor. Am I preaching? And then we have half-hearted service. That's what he said. You bring the blind for a sacrifice?
Yeah.
And the lame, you bringing that to me? That's half-hearted. What happens? The You start showing symptoms. This doesn't get as real as it used to. And you get half-hearted. Lackadaisical. And by the way, when you get like that, anything can move in your life. Why is it? Come on, help me. I'm almost done. Why is it that we Christians always are looking for some substitute to cause us to be high when all we need to do is be in love with Jesus? Why are we always looking for a substitute? And when we do that, we become half-hearted and then we get weary. Come on, man. That doctor I had for 23 years, he said, if you start passing out, have your candy bar and some orange juice there by your side. I did it for 23 years. Woke up, drank me orange juice, and ate a candy bar. But ladies and gentlemen, that didn't cure me. That didn't solve my problem because I didn't have what he said I had.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I'm almost done. Did I say that? Number three. Look at verse 11. Let me show you, thirdly, the seriousness of this problem. Look at verse number 11, will you? Just go with me. I'm almost done. I'll tell you how serious it was. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, show you how serious it was. My name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord. You know what he said? I'm closing the book on you. And I'm going to a Gentile people. Unheard of. For all those hundreds of years, it was him and Israel. But now he said, I'm taking my hand off of you. And I'm going to the Gentile. You hear me out? Come here, son. Just a second. There's nothing greater than having God's hand on you. How many of y'all know when it's on you? It's precious. It's wonderful. By the way, I'm full of vigor when his hand's on me. I'm full of vitality when his hand's on me. When his hand's on me, I can charge hell with a squirt gun. But what he said to Israel, I'm taking it off you. You could be seated. And I'm going to put it on what you call as a dog. Let me illustrate. Serious, isn't it? In 1988, you was talking about, where were you? Well, let me go back further than 2001. How many remember the spaceship Challenger? Anybody old enough to remember that? Sure you do. We remember that because that was the first shuttle that was going up with a lady school teacher in it. Her name was Christy McAuliffe. And I'll never forget. We were all the school kids was watching it. We were all watching it. And that spaceship went up. And what happened? It blew up in the middle there. How many remember that? But let me ask you this. Do you remember what was said 90 seconds in? Alan Nismith said this. we've had a major malfunction. Ladies and gentlemen, I see so many Christians that are weary, that are about ready to throw in the towel, that have dropped their convictions, dropped their standards, not doing what's right. And we see it in their homes. We see it in the church. We see it in the businesses. We've had a major malfunction. God's took his hand off of us. Where would I be tonight? Where would I be tonight if God took his hand off of me? I'd be on the shelf. I'll say this. I'm glad I'm still able to preach like I'm preaching. Now, I will tell y'all, I'll have to rest a day or so after preaching so hard today. But I'm glad I still can preach. You know what? I'll probably get to do this for a while by the grace of God. But ladies and gentlemen, if I got bad enough, I could sit in a chair and preach. I have done that before. But I cannot get behind this pulpit, and I can't be worth anything if God's hand's not on me. It's serious. Thanks, somebody. That's why people get weary. That's why they quit. That's why they stop. That's why churches are emptying out. It's because folks are weary, and it's serious. Lastly, I'm done. Chad, I want to ask you a question now. It's not a trick question. You know the answer, so I'm going to ask you. I ask you a question. Hear me? No trick question. Not a trap. Did they ever get any help? What was their source of their problem? They never got it, did they? God closed the book on them. 400 years. How long?
400.
How long?
400.
Say it loud.
400 years of silence.
So there wasn't no solution for them. None. Now I want you to do something with me. Go all the way to the last book of the Bible. Hurry, I'm done. Turn to the last book of the Bible. And I want to give you the solution. It was not found in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. But the solution actually is found in the last book of the New Testament. In chapter number 2, if you're there, say amen. Revelation 2. I'm done. Here's the solution. Kids, here's the solution. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. Sounds like a good church to me. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and not fainted. Hold it! What?
Nevertheless.
What?
Nevertheless.
Look at it.
Yeah. I got somewhat against
thee. Nevertheless,
yeah.
I have somewhat against thee.
Come on.
Jeff, what was the problem in the Old Testament source? Love! What's the problem here?
Yes.
The same problem. Because thou hast left thy first love.
Yeah. Come on.
Same problem.
Yep.
Hundreds of years later, but the same problem.
Same problem.
And by the way, fast channel it to 2021. August 22nd, 2021, we have the same problem, the problem of weariness that's caused by a love problem. And we have symptoms of half-hearted service and a lack of honor. And it's real serious.
That's it.
look what he says, and I'm done. This is something the New Testament church don't do much of, but I'm going to try to get it to you. We don't do much of this. You want to get it back? You want to not be weary again? Let me give it to you. Look at me. Go right back to chapter 2 of Revelation. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Number 1, look at verse 5. Remember therefore whence thou hast fallen. Hey, by the way, anybody weary in this church, anybody that has let your standards down, anybody in this church not living where you used to live for God, you remember when it happened. Do you remember in your life? When Christianity started being weariness? You remember when you fell? You remember when you goofed up? You remember when you made the wrong choices? Am I preaching? I'm closing the door on this. And look at the next point. And repent.
Turn away from it.
How many believe that a lot of our illnesses would be cured by good old-fashioned repentance? Stop preaching much. I mean, since when can we not say we're sorry to God? Since when can we not say, God, I failed, I flopped, I was miserable, but it's not too late.
Amen.
Your awareness in your Christian walk is because your love for Him is not what it used to be. But all you got to do is remember where you fell off the saddle. And then just do this. Repent. Repent. Then lastly, here it is. Boy, it's simple, isn't it? Remember therefore whence thou hast fallen, and repent. And notice this. And do the first works. Repeat. Here's what you do. You want the excitement back? You want the joy back? You want the fervency back? You remember, you repent, and then get right back after it.
Amen.
Just get right back after it.
Amen.
I want all y'all to know this. I know this. There is so much joy in the Christian life. But there is no joy when our source, when our love wanes. There's no joy. There's no fervency. And it gets dead. And we've got to try other things to make us happy, because God doesn't make us happy if we're weary with Him. Let me ask you, heads bowed. Let's go to the piano. Would you be honest tonight? First of all, when I ask, how many know that you know that you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Hold them up. Thank you. Stand with me. Stand with me. Most everybody. Now, bow your head with me. I'm done. How many in this room say, preacher, my Christian life is not what it used to be. I don't have the thrill I had, the joy I had. I know I'm saved, but I've been making all kinds of choices, and I've been substituting all kinds of things to make me happy and to make me joyful. But preacher, they're really not working. How many Christians raise your hand and say, that's me? I just need to read you. I just need to get recommitted. Come on. Come on. Come sit down. I'm going to pray. If God spoke to you, I'd like you to come around the altar and just pray. Our Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. It spoke to me again. Lord, I pray for folks here. Maybe joys went out of their marriage. Maybe joys went out of their serving God. Maybe they make choices in their life and it hadn't helped them. It's actually hindered them. Lord, would they remember when it was great? Lord, help them to repent from where they fail. And God, help tonight to repeat. In Jesus' name, amen.